Hello, Mama. So excited to be here with you today. I am coming to you from my crazy half-packed house, and we are starting remodels this week, which is very exciting. And I hope that we start feeling some progress and seeing a timeline emerge of what our move-in date might be. Yeah, we'll see how it all works out. There's crunch time with baby, so. It's all gonna work out though. I have a lot of peace about it because I had been praying about our move, as we were house hunting months and months ago. And every time I would pray, I just would hear God say October. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. I didn't know if we would find the house in October or move in October. Who knows? But as time has gone on and we found our house and everything has worked out, I've slowly begun to realize October is move-in date. And so it feels very tight because baby's due November 4. We're probably moving in mid-October. I know I'm talking about this all the time. It's just because it's always on my mind. But all that to say, like, because God had told me October months ago, I just feel this peace about it. I'm like, okay, God had this in the plans. We knew this was going to happen. Like, we are all good. Like, we have got this. And then the good thing, too, about, remodeling is we're not doing everything. We're just doing a handful of things. And so we can start getting some of the rooms set up now, hopefully. And, in my mind, it's all going to go smooth. We'll see. Keep you posted. But all that to say, my current house is in a little bit of disarray as we are, half packed and still here, and it's just kind of crazy. So that is where I'm sitting right now. I hope that you're sitting in a more peaceful environment. I can't wait to like just even get like my diffusers going in all the different rooms of my new house and just make everything beautiful and smell good. It just, yeah, especially in this season of chaos, I am just dreaming about that. So I hope you have something cozy like that though right now. But if you don't, this episode will be really good for you because we are going to talk about how to let people help you. Because I don't know if you know this, but you're not supposed to do it all alone, mama. No matter who you are, no matter what your situation is, that's not what it should look like. So we're going to talk about how to do that, what some tips are. I know so many of us struggle to let people do things for us. And so we're going to dive into that today. But before I go on, I just wanted to remind you, hey, when you take a minute and you share an episode on Instagram or text a friend or whatever social media thing that you're on, it means the world to me. It helps just spread this and helps grow the business and grow whatever God's doing. I don't even like calling it a business. It doesn't feel like a business, but like God is just up to something here. And so I just appreciate it so much when you take a minute to do that. So if you can, just stop right now, take a screenshot of this episode or one of your favorite episodes and send it to a friend, post it on your social media, tag me, and I'll try and repost you. If I just sometimes I don't get there in time. I'm really bad at social media, but I will at least send you a message and tell you thank you. And yeah, it just helps. It helps so much. And especially if this is something that's encouraged you get to help other people by helping them get encouraged too. So I thank you for that in advance. You're amazing. And without further ado, let's hop into today's episode. Welcome to the Morning Mama Podcast, where it is time to wake up to the life you were created for. Come join me on a journey to heal from your past, craft a healthy, joy-filled life, and discover the gifts and passions inside of you that the world needs. Hi, I'm Brittany, a former marriage and family therapist who is ready to help you grab hold of your courage, step out in faith, and discover that your life can become more than you ever dreamed possible. This is Morning Mama, a place for you to throw off all that has been holding you back and run into true freedom. All right, Mama. So today we're talking about how to let people help you. And this question emerged. I was reminded of it because it's come up many times, but I was reminded of it the other day when we were doing our Academy call. We have our live coaching call with the Academy girls once a week as they're working through all of the video and homework content. And someone talked about how they had had a good moment with a relative about having a hard conversation with about cleaning, because you know they're relative, and I'm just trying to keep it vague, make sure no one knows who we're talking about. Their relative, you know, would come in, and when they would babysit, they would, you know, do the dishes or clean some things. And this mama just was really disturbed by that. And so she was able to have a good conversation with them and talk about how that was hard for her. And this relative was like, okay, I won't do that anymore. And I was like, okay, well, great job, one, having the conversation. Like, that's huge. Yes, yes, I celebrate that. However, you are missing out on half of the goodness here, because ultimately, I think there's probably some pain points, and we talk all about pain. We identify what your core pain words are, so you can, in any situation, see why you're getting triggered and why you're acting the way you do. And so, you know, we map that all out. And so I think there's one of your pain points that is underneath the reason why you don't want her to help you. And I say that so definitively, because that was me for a long time, especially as a new mom and a new house owner, and, you know, just, I guess, a new wife even, you know, it's been just a couple of years. I felt so deeply insecure in my ability to be a mom and my ability to take care of the house. And I put so much pressure on myself to feel like I had to do it all and do it all perfectly. And if anyone saw anything that wasn't perfect, then I was embarrassed. I felt like it said something about who I was. I felt like it, people would look at that and judge it. And I felt like if people came in and helped me, I felt like they were saying, well, you're not a good enough mom. You're not a good enough house cleaner. Let me show you how to do it right. This, you know, this, what you're doing isn't good enough. And actually, I think most of the time, now we'll talk about the exceptions, but most of the time that is not the intention of the person helping you. And even with this girl we're talking about from the academy, this relative of hers, that was not their intention. That was absolutely not what, after they had that conversation, like they, you know, that relative was like, I did not mean that at all, right? Same, you know, same story with me. Like I struggled so much, especially with my mother-in-law doing it, my mom too, when they would come in and watch my kids and do my dishes or clean my kitchen, you know, those are usually like the hot spots, then I, or pick up toys for that matter, but I would just feel so triggered and so inadequate, and I would just not like that, and I was, you know, upset at them, and you know, internally, like, which is all on me. They did nothing wrong, right? Like, they're trying to help, and I'm triggered, and I'm not realizing it. And so I wanted to talk about this, because I know it's such a common thing, is that we feel like it's all needs to be on us. We feel like if someone's going to help us, it says that we're not good enough, that we're not a good enough mom, we're not a good enough housekeeper. So I want to talk to you about how I have gotten out of this mindset, because, girl, like, you should not be doing it alone. If someone wants to help you, not only should you not be triggered, and obviously that takes some deeper work, but also you should say, hallelujah, thank you, take my children, take the dishes, take the toys, like whatever you want to take, take it. Yes, please. So let's talk about how to get there, because that's where like the real freedom comes in. Now, I want to start by giving a few examples of how this mindset showed up in my life, because it wasn't just like my mom or mother-in-law coming in and doing dishes while they were there. That was a big part of it, but it showed up in other areas as well. And I think it's all kind of attached to this same kind of lie that we believe that we need to prove we're good enough, that we need to do it all alone in order to feel like we're enough. And so here's some other ways it showed up. You know, I also felt like my husband, when we first got married, shouldn't cook because I'm the wife. Like, right, this is kind of like old gender roles, and we're going to talk about that because, you know, I do believe that God has some things to say to husbands and wives that are different. However, I don't think God says who should cook or who should take care of the kids or what that should look like. And so for me, like, I just felt like he would cook sometimes, and unless it was like a special occasion, I would be like, oh, so worried about it. And I would feel again triggered by that because I felt like I should be doing that, right? I also, like, it went to different areas. Like, I felt like we shouldn't hire a gardener because I felt like we should be able to do it ourselves. Like, why are we outsourcing this? And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the mindsets of where all this comes from, but I just had this mindset of we should be able to do this. Like, this is our place. We need to be able to take care of it ourselves. Along the similar mindset, I felt like we shouldn't hire a cleaner for a long time because I'm capable of it and I should know how to do it. And it just shows my weaknesses if I don't do it right, and that we should use that money for something else. Even if we had that money, we shouldn't use it for that. Like, so many things. I also felt like, and not only if you're probably hearing some of this, and this is also me putting this on my husband, because like for him, he was the one that kind of took care of the garden and the backyard and the lawn and all of that. And I was putting this on him. Like, I told him he should not hire a gardener because he should be the one to do it. Right. So like, not only is this affecting and limiting me, it's affecting and limiting him as well. So this, for me, this mindset was so encompassing of so many things. I also felt like we should build our own things and fix our own things because we can figure it out, and we shouldn't have to hire someone else. We should use that money for something else, but there's that we need to be the ones to do it all. And I'm sure, you know, one, this very much attaches to my idea of perfectionism, my pain point of not feeling good enough, you know, but I'm sure it also comes up in just how I was raised. And, you know, we were very like self-sufficient, and I feel like, you know, and my dad is so good at doing so many different things. And so I think part of it comes from that kind of mindset. And part of that's good. Like, it is good to know how to do things yourself and to, be able to work hard and do these things. But I took that mindset and distorted it into a way that was unhealthy and limited me. And so, you know, I kind of already touched on this, but the secret to all you mamas that think you have to do so much and you have to have it all together, and you look at other moms and you think, how do they have it all together? They do everything and it's all perfect and it looks amazing. Okay, well, here's the secret. Either one, things are falling apart in those mama's lives and they are keeping it a secret and they're not allowing people to see it and they're hiding that, which, you know, Instagram, right, paints these beautiful pictures of the ideal moments in our lives, and it can be so easy to read into that. So this could be someone doing it intentionally and trying to hide it, or unintentionally and just trying to share the pretty moments, and you assume that they have it all together, right? So that could be one of the things. The other option, there's only two options here. They either have some areas that are weaknesses that are falling apart that you don't know about, or they don't do it alone. Those are the only two options, okay? Now, you know, obviously it depends, because like I know there's some mamas that like they're not working, and so they are super dedicated to the house and to homeschooling, and like that is, they have their systems down, their routines down, and all of that. And so there are some mamas that are doing all of those things, right? They've like really honed in on it. But if they're working, or if they even homeschooling, right, is like work, I guarantee you there's either an area that's struggling, maybe it's just exhaustion, or they're not doing it alone. Okay. So I'm going to give you me as an example. Now, I don't know if you guys really see me this way. I hope that you don't, because I definitely am not this way. And I hope I'm open enough that you don't like perceive me this, but even some people in my real world life, sometimes they're like, how do you do it all? And I'm like, well, I don't, first of all, but the two things I just listed, both, yes, there's often something falling apart and I don't intentionally hide it, but it's there. Sometimes I intentionally hide it, right? Sometimes you're like, your house is in chaos and someone's coming over and you're like, oh, I can't let them see this. And part of that's just being a good host and creating a good environment. But sometimes there's a different tendency in me that just doesn't want to allow people to see that, because then they're going to see the weakness in me. And so I definitely can fall into that trap as well. I think most of us can. So something to be aware of. So, but for me, like, either there's something falling apart and I don't do it alone. Both of those things are very true for me. And so when someone says like, how do you do it all? I'm like, well, I don't, you know? And so, you know, for me, I, first of all, have an area, like I've shared before and shared today, that there's something slipping. And especially, and I talk about this a lot, but especially in a crazy season for me, there is something that I usually let go of completely. Like I kind of compartmentalize my focuses and I'm like, okay, if I just manage these three bubbles, I'm going to ignore the other two bubbles over there because I don't know how to do it all. Now, I'm not saying that's what we should be doing. Like I'm working on that and trying to strengthen my ability to continue in all of my routines in hard times, but you know, also grace. So it's like a combination of things, right? But you know, just as an example of someone that you might think has it all together, again, I hope you don't perceive that of me, but in case you do, that's not true. Like there is usually something slipping, whether it's like laundry is slipping or groceries are slipping or cleaning is slipping. Right now, all three of those things are slipping. Actually, I went to the grocery store just a couple days ago. Hallelujah. But before that, we went like a week and the only vegetable we had in the house was frozen peas. And so we ate those like every meal. Good thing my kids love frozen peas. But it was bad, right? Like I definitely should have gone a week earlier or at least taken a little trip, right? There's so many things I could have done. But I compartmentalize and that is one thing for me, like to have a real story for you. And with that, I also don't want to encourage you just to like stay there because now the way that things are in my house, in my life right now, I'm not okay with it going on forever. You know, this is a season. It's the middle of a move. It's the middle of like a pregnancy where I'm not able to move around as quickly and easily. So there are a lot of factors. Now there's always going to be factors, right? But there's all these are two huge things that are limiting my abilities right now. And so yes to grace and to making plans. And so I have plans in place of like, okay, this is what it's going to look like when we move, right? Or at least like after, you know, the first month or two with the baby and we're getting our routines with the baby down. And, you know, I don't know how number three is going to go. I'm so curious. I'm like, what is this baby going to be like? Because I have two very different kids. The first kid was super challenging. Second kid was super like easy angel baby. So I'm like, what are we going to get this time? What is it going to be like having done this twice before? I don't know. All these thoughts are going through my mind. So I don't know how long it's going to take in to hone in those routines, you know, get enough sleep going that I can like really, you know, bounce back on getting all of these systems in place. But all that to say is I have a plan and I've talked a lot about Chelsea Joe and her Systemize Your Life Academy. Highly, highly, highly recommend that. That has changed my life. And so my plan is once I, you know, settle down from the baby, I'm going to redo the whole course. I've already done it all. But I'm going to go through it all again and get everything back in place with our new house and our new routines that we're developing with a newborn. And, you know, so I have a plan in place. I know the way out. I've done it before. I know the way out. And so I'm not okay sitting here forever. And I just say that because I also don't want you, as you hear about, oh yes, extend grace and it's okay. But I just also want you to know, like, I don't want you to sit there forever because it will impact your mental health. It will impact your relationships. It will impact everything. Okay. But also real talk. Okay. Can we do both? But while we're touching on it, that's actually another way that I have allowed people to help me. Is through taking courses. When I first became a mom, I took a whole course on cleaning, like how to clean things, how to get into routines, how to do all that. Like I just had never really thought about it before. It wasn't something innate in me. And so I bought that, right? Like that was an investment I made in myself and my home. And then, you know, with this at Chelsea Joe's program, like I have taken another investment of time and money to learn how to create these systems and routines in my, you know, she goes into every area of your life, your business, your home, your marriage, your kids. I can't remember all the categories at the moment, but it was an investment. So that's another way that I have allowed people to help me is by learning from them and not feeling like I have to make it all up or figure it out on my own. But we'll get more into all of that. So like I said, we're talking about an example of how moms that we think that they have it all together, they don't really. And so we're talking about me as the example. If I fall into that category, which I don't feel like I do, but for some, sure. Okay. So the two things that we're looking at are the secret is that those moms, there's either things falling apart or they don't do it alone. So I just talked about how things often are falling apart behind the scenes. The second part is that I don't do it alone. So let me give you some examples of what this looks like in my life. So my husband, he is the cook in the family. He almost every night when he's home, now he works long hours sometimes, so he's not always home, but when he is home and he's not home for like breakfasts or lunches, but when he's home for dinner, he will cook every night he's home, you know, or we'll, you know, get takeout or something, but he is the cook. And most of the time after dinner, now it's been a little crazy lately with the house because he's working on the repairs and stuff, but he will do the dishes afterwards, right? So I know that's a shocker to many of you that maybe don't have supportive spouses, or maybe you just felt like you had to do it all. Hey, let's try and lean into some of the strengths of your husbands, and we're going to talk about that. But that's one way that I'm helped in a big way. So, right, so breaking more of the perception that maybe that I have it all together and I do it alone. No, I don't do this alone. Another thing is we have a cleaner that comes every other week and helps get my house clean. Now I have to, you know, keep it picked up in the middle. I have to clean my kitchen and, you know, often in the middle of that. But that does do a huge chunk, right? The showers I don't have to deal with. Like there's so much that comes with that that is so helpful. So, and a gardener, like we're not taking that on ourselves as well. I also have childcare for my kids throughout the week. And now I know this is one most people are probably more open to, but I know some of you feel like, you know, especially if you work from home, you feel like you can't hire someone. You feel like you have to be the parent day in and day out and do it all. And I have to say to that, no, I don't believe that you need to do that. You don't have to carry on that weight. And so I absolutely think you can be an amazing parent and have your kids in babysitting, daycare, school, whatever it looks like. And so that is another way that I am helped. Along with that, and my child care looks like a lot of different things. Like there's relatives that help. There's babysitters that help. There's school that helps. There's, you know, so many different things. And so, you know, as part of that, my mom and my mother-in-law, when they come often, especially in this season, as I keep telling you about, they will often do my dishes and clean up my kitchen while they're here. And so, again, I used to fight that and I used to be offended by it. And now I, you know, am just, can you come over every day? Like, this is great. Why didn't you do more? No, just kidding. But it's like literally anything they do, I am beyond grateful for. And so, and this is not just like the mess that they make. Like often they'll walk into my house, and this used to be a trigger point for me too. They'll walk into my house and it will be a disaster again, especially in this season. But again, I've talked over many months about this is a weak spot in my life, and I have routines. I know how to put them in place, but sometimes I don't always do that well. And so they walk into my house and it's a complete disaster. And I used to be so ashamed. And I still have moments where it's like, oh, I don't really want you to see this again. Like, yeah, you know, I have those moments still, but I've gotten better at just like embracing it. It's like, okay, it's okay that they're here and things are not perfect. That's okay. It doesn't mean that I'm not good enough. And, you know, I fight those lies. And they will come in and they'll take a horrendous kitchen, and it's not a mess they made, but they will clean it all up. So those are just a few examples of how I don't do things alone in my life. As a mother, as a wife, as a housekeeper, like I'm not alone in this. And I'm not okay with being alone. And I'm actually constantly trying to find ways that I can get more support so that I can do more of the things that I love. And that's the thing, is when we let people help us, one, we have less pressure, less stress, less chaos. We're able to keep up better with things, but also we get to do more of the things we do love, more of those moments of joy you do love with your kids, more of that time at work that you do love without distraction. You can get more done, more of the relaxing at night and spending time with your husband or just taking care of yourself, right? Like that's what we get when we say yes to people helping us. And ultimately, I'm just going to touch on this for a second. You do need to do the deeper work and figure out what's underneath it. Like I said, for me, it's that feeling of not good enough. And so, you know, this is something we talk about in the Academy, is rewiring our brain by going through our four steps. If you want like a quick how to on this, because it's a theory that I used back when I was a therapist, and it's amazing. It helps. It's so amazing. Everyone that I've ever introduced also thinks it's amazing. But anyways, you can go back and listen to episodes 15 through 20. And I highly encourage you to do that, because it is mind blowing to help you learn about yourself and learn about how to rethink triggers and how to rethink relationships. And, you know, I can like see the downloads per episode, and there's a ton of new listeners here now that have not listened to those episodes, because those episodes have like a fraction of the listens or downloads as do the current episodes. And I get it, but I'm telling you, you gotta go listen to those, because they are just the core of everything. That's how I've healed. That's how I like rethink things. That's how I get out of this mindset when my mother-in-law comes over, is because I'm not letting those lies dictate my actions anymore. So that's my quick blurb on restoration theory to do the deeper work here. And you can go again, listen episodes 15 through 20. And I can't recommend it enough. Okay, so as we're looking to, you know, once you can get past that mindset of like, okay, I don't have to do it all, and you say, okay, I'm ready for help, Brittany, but now how do I figure that out? How do I do this? And in each of these categories too, there's different mindsets and beliefs we do have to work through. So a few areas to get more help in are relatives, right? Using money, figuring out how to shift time, and then also marriage and gender roles. So let's go through each of those categories. And again, all of your viewpoints on these, they do matter and they're at play here. So there's, you know, there might be a certain category that you really need to work more on and go to God with, and maybe talk with a, you know, a spiritual advisor or a good friend about, to just kind of get, or therapist for that matter, to get to your mindsets around those and boil down what's going on there. But I do think a lot of them, in general, the root of it all, the basic root, is pride. And I think that most often our pride is rooted in this lie of inadequacy, feeling like we're not good enough. And so with all of this, my encouragement to you, you know, obviously restoration theory, but also if you want to just tackle it in another way, is you've got to work to stop trying to prove your worth through your actions. And the thing is that you've got this belief that you've got to replace, like, because right now you're trying, you feel unworthy, you feel like you're not good enough, and you try and prove that you're good enough, or you feel like you're trying to prove you're worthy through your actions. But here's the thing, your worth has already been proven. God created you, and then Jesus died for you. Like, that is enough worth for anyone. And he made you good, and he's redeemed and forgiven your life. Like, that is all that you need to have a healthy identity. And so we've got to get to the point where we can remember that and stop trying to prove that we're good enough, because that's only going to lead us to this place of feeling like we have to do it all alone. And so, this kind of touches on restoration theory, but first of all, speaking truth over yourself. So if you struggle with this, you need to start speaking some truth to yourself. You need to get some verses out and start speaking the identity God has placed on you over yourself. So get some verses. There's so many good things about what God says. Psalm 139 is one of my favorite places to go for this. I'm sure you've read it before, but that's just like an amazing chapter to speak over yourself and to understand how God sees you and how good he made you. And you can, you know, there's so many verses that you're more than a conqueror. You're beautifully and wonderfully made. You are made in the image of God, right? Like, there's, it goes on and on. So look up some verses in the Bible that speak truth over yourself and use those, have them ready. And then the second part too is to confess your pride. So this goes hand in hand. They're attached. Inadequacy and pride, they seem opposite, but they're actually attached. Inadequacy leads to pride. Pride leads to inadequacy. It's just like this vicious cycle. And so confess your pride to God. Like, anytime you're trying to prove yourself worthy outside of God, that is kind of a, you're in pride, right? You're looking at an accomplishment of yours and saying, well, that's what makes me worthy. Like, look how good I am. And that is pride, because our worth comes from God. Now, it's okay to celebrate our victories. It's okay to celebrate our accomplishments. That's great. But we can't place our identity in them. And that's where the problem comes. And, you know, this is a prayer I pray almost every day when I remember, is there's a verse that says, demolish my pride, give me a heart of humility. And that's what I pray every day. Now, that can be painful, right? Like, pride can make us feel protected and comforted sometimes, because it, if we don't do that deeper work to really work out our identity, it's like this kind of false shield that we can hold up that at a time can feel like it protects us, but ultimately it's only harming us. And so to dismantle that is not easy, and it requires humility, and humility is challenging. So that prayer, be careful when you pray it, like make sure you're ready for that because it's hard, but ultimately that's what we all need. And so my encouragement to you is just to confess daily, like any pride problems that you're having, and just pray that God would give you that heart of humility that you desire and that he desires for you. So those are two things that you can use to really work on some of this mindset around feeling like you have to do it all yourself. Just get to that inner work of believing who God says you are, and then just confessing any sin that's getting in the way. All right, Mama, I'm loving this topic so much. I think it's so relevant for so many of us. So we're going to break this up into two episodes. So we will be back in the next episode to continue our conversation about how to let people help us. Let me just pray for you. God, I just thank you for who you are, God. I thank you that you have a plan for our flourishing, God, and that you have a way that we can do this amazing life without just being bogged down and overwhelmed all the time, God. And part of that plan is to lean on each other, God, that you made us for community. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you would just help each of these mamas just press into that community to get rid of these old lies that say we have to do it alone, that's how we are worthy. God, we're only worthy through you, God, through who you say we are, God. Nothing we can accomplish will ever prove our worth, Lord. So just, I pray you would remove those lies in the name of Jesus, and that you would just speak truth to us over who we are and just what you have for us to do. God, help us to accept the help, God, that's going to make us stronger and able to run faster and able to enjoy more of this amazing life you've given us. You're so good and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Mama.
If you've found hope and inspiration in today's episode, then hit subscribe. Make sure you don't miss a moment on this journey of healing. Want to help more mamas enter into the hope and freedom you have found? Please take a moment to leave a review. This helps so much to get Morning Mama seen so that more mamas can find this space. Lastly, please come say hi in our Facebook group, Morning Mama Collective. I would love to meet you and learn your story. Let me know where you're getting stuck in your healing journey so that you can help inspire more episodes. I am so grateful for you, Mama, and I cannot wait to see all that God has in store for you.
Okay, that was the prayer for the end of 137. And then here will be the intro for episode 138. Thank you, Dad. All right, Mama. So excited to be back with you today. We are continuing our conversation on how to let people help you. And I know for so many of you, this is a challenging topic because I know it was for me and I've had many conversations with other people about this. But I hope that this episode just helps you feel equipped, helps you find some freedom, helps you get some time back. Make sure you start in the last episode 137 to hear the beginning of this conversation. This is a continuation of this, but I'm excited for you. And speaking of being in community and leaning on each other, make sure if you haven't yet, you're in our Facebook group. It's such an amazing community of women that are dealing with this mom stuff together. And so we can lean on each other. We can encourage each other. We can talk about things that are going to bring us closer to each other and closer to God. And so just make sure you're in there. That would be a great place to talk about these kind of topics too, and get some maybe advice on how to have these kind of hard conversations with our relatives and our husbands about how to get more help. So you can find it at bit.ly, that's bit.ly/Morning Mama Facebook group, or you can go on Facebook and search for Morning Mama Collective. There's also a link in the show notes. So all of the places, would love to see you over there. My good friend Lauren runs it, and she does an amazing job just getting amazing conversations started and encouraging everyone. She has the gift of encouragement on her life, and she's just amazing. So would love to see you over there, hear your story. You are incredible. But let's, without further ado, dive into our topic today. Let's go. Okay, so let's just go through these and touch kind of on each of these categories. So we have relatives, money, time, and marriage or gender roles. So starting off with relatives. So I know there is so much that can be assumed on both sides. Family is complicated. Family is usually not easy. It is has so many deeper things you got to figure out and work through. And these are relationships that aren't going away, right? And so, and there's so much, there's just so much with family. It just gets complicated. And so it's so important to work through this stuff for yourself to be healthy and for your relationships to be healthy. Ultimately, the other person is also going to have to make a choice to be healthy, but you can choose to make that step for yourself, and it's going to extend to them. And so what I want to say to you is you need to have a conversation with them if you struggle with this, if you struggle with them coming in and cleaning, and you need to ask about their intentions. Say, hey, you know, I'm kind of struggling with them. Tell them about your insecurity. Say, I feel like I'm not a good enough mom when you come in and do my dishes. I'm curious, like what you were trying to do with that, or like why is it that you come in and do the dishes? I would love to know your heart to understand more, because I know I'm being triggered by it, but it doesn't mean that I should be triggered by it, you know? And so just have a conversation, be real with them, and that's going to open up so much, first of all, for just that resentment to be gone, for the bitterness, for the discomfort. You can just have this open communication. And again, my belief is that 90, maybe 99, I don't know, most of the time, this is going to be a conversation that goes well, and there's going to be nothing that is underlying their wanting to help. They probably are just wanting to help. They think, wow, I remember when I was a mom. This was a lot of work. I don't mind doing their dishes. This is, you know, I remember when someone would do my dishes. It was amazing, right? Like, they just want to help. And that is amazing. Now, I do want to touch on just for a minute, because I have heard stories of family members that were, through their help, being manipulative. You know, there are times where this help can have strings attached, where, you know, they help, and so now they expect you to do something for them. Or, you know, I had heard about someone that they were staying in, they were renting a house from one of their relatives, I think, something like that. And, you know, when that relative would come over, they would like just do all kinds of things that weren't necessary to clean. And it kind of was more about them wanting to kind of control. They didn't trust them to take care of the house, even though they are very clean people and much cleaner than me. So all that to say, but you know what that needed? That needed a conversation. And I can't remember if they ended up having the conversation. This is a while ago. But so there can be circumstances where it's not a healthy relationship. And with that, that's why boundaries are so important. And I have some episodes on boundaries from last year, like around Christmas time. Let me see if I can find the numbers for you. Okay, this is another series that I did. I think it starts in number 35, so going way back. And then number 38 talks about like unsolicited parenting advice. 39 talks about our boundaries biblical. I think there might be some more in there too. So go back around there. For sure, those numbers you can dig into, and just to learn more about boundaries, because it is super essential that we understand boundaries. And so what this looks like is that we set a boundary and we say either yes to something or no to something. And with that, we don't worry about what else there is surrounding that. So if I say yes to something, it's my job to not have any resentment towards that yes. It's my job to say that yes out of a clear heart. And so ultimately, whoever I say yes to, that it's not their job to say, oh, she's doing too much. I'm going to tell her to slow down. I'm going to tell her to back off. That is our job. And so we can set our boundaries as needed with our relatives and say, okay, so, you know, we have those conversations. We say, okay, so you're doing this because you just want to help and you love us and like you don't feel obligated. There's nothing else behind it. Great. We would love for you to do that. And so we say yes. And now we don't worry about what else might be there. We don't worry about them, you know, having the wrong intentions. We don't worry about if they're feeling overworked, because they have that option. They get to decide if they're going to do the dishes or not. And we can remove ourselves from that pressure of trying to take care of them or trying to make sure they feel, you know, valued or don't feel pressured to do it, right? Like that's their job. If they need to change at some point to be like, oh, I can't do your dishes anymore, or I can't come into your house like this, like that's their job to have that conversation. And so we can accept their help without worrying about the rest of it. Now, if there are expectations that are unwanted that come from them watching your kids or doing your dishes or whatever it is, and now there is an expectation that you're going to have dinner at their house 3 times a week. I don't know. It's an extreme example. But or that you are going to go on family vacations, or that anytime they call, you're going to come over. Like whatever those are, whether they're explicit expectations or you know, unsaid expectations, And if you don't want those expectations on you, then you need to be clear. So first of all, have a conversation and say, hey, if you're going to do the dishes, we still are not able to come over for dinner on those nights. Like, we can still come every other week or once a week or, you know, whatever that is, but we're not able to do this thing, or, you know, and make it explicit. Make sure you say that clearly so that now you are in a place where it is on them to decide if they still want to do the dishes or still want to watch your kids, because they know that this other expectation they're putting on you is not going to be met. Now, you also can make the decision. All of this should, yes, have lots of conversations involved, but you can also make the decision to say, no, hey, we would appreciate it, or we're not going to have you come and watch our kids anymore, or not going to have you do the dishes, or whatever it is. And this in kindness is not coming out very kind right now in my tone of voice. But you're going to say, like, we're not going to have this anymore. We appreciate you and we love you, right? And so you can say no to the help that they're offering if you know that there's strings attached that you guys have talked about and you're not okay with those expectations on you. So essentially, it kind of comes down to lots of communication, right? Lots of calling things out. And now, like, you know, maybe, okay, so go to the first scenario. So say you said, yes, we would love you to still watch our kids and do the dishes, but hey, we can only come to dinner once a week, okay? So now, say this is happening, they're watching your kids, they're doing the dishes, you're so grateful, you're telling them that, this is awesome. But now, and you've defined, okay, once a week, but now there's days that your mom or whoever it is calls and says, hey, can you come over again? Or you know, maybe they say it in more of like a manipulative kind of way. And if you're clear and you say, oh, hey, we're still not able to do that, but we will be there Thursday night like normal, you know, and you spell that out, and that's still creating tension, or you can feel the resentment in their voice, or you can see it in the way that they act towards you, or you know when that's happening, that manipulation is kind of happening, then you can change and say, you know what, I guess it's not healthy to have you watch our kids because we're not able to have a healthy relationship with this, because we are not able to come over 3 times a week, only once a week, and so we're not going to be able to meet those expectations. So I hope that helps you guys a little bit. Obviously, it gets a little complicated trying to talk about all the nuances that can happen, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, and set those boundaries where you want them. Okay, so there can be that manipulation piece. However, I think most of the time, that is not there. And so I want you to be careful. Don't just assume that is there. I want you to go in and have these conversations ready to hear what they have to say, because often pride can disguise itself and make us think, especially if we haven't really healed this area of not feeling good enough. And so we can go in already kind of triggered. And so pride can kind of disguise it and make us think, well, they're manipulating us, or they said that there's no ulterior motives, but there really is, right? So we need to be careful that we are not falling into that trap, because we need the help. We want the help. And if there's nothing behind the help, then we want to embrace every bit of it. And this is going to help you in many ways. Okay, so I hope that made sense. Family is obviously a big category this comes up in, probably the biggest, where we struggle and it gets complicated and we're trying to work it out. The biggest thing, again, that I have to say is have conversations. Be open. I know they're hard. I know they're scary, but you can do it. You're an adult. You got this, mama. Okay. The next thing I want to talk about is money. And this one, again, was hard for me for such a long time. And I shared a little bit of the examples of that. And, you know, for some of you, I know this is going to be a more challenging conversation, because some of you are really struggling with money and there is really probably nothing you can reallocate. Like, you are on a tight budget. You guys have your budget honed in. You know exactly your expenses. You're very, you know, like, you're very good at all of that. You're doing the Dave Ramsey plan, like, all of that. And that's great. And so this might not apply to you quite as much. However, a lot of us have some flexibility in our budget. And I say a lot of us, not insinuating that everyone is rich, but because we have different priorities. And so some people, I use this example a lot because it blows my mind, and it's okay if this is your priority. I don't personally understand it. Their priority is Starbucks. Like, they want to go to Starbucks, you know, multiple times a week, multiple times a day sometimes, and that is like where their budget goes. Now, again, that's totally okay. I love my cup of coffee at home, so I don't get the appeal as much. But there, that is a decision you're making to use that money towards those drinks. And, or, you know, if we're talking about drinks, I mean, going out to eat and, you know, having a drink at a restaurant or a bar, like that also is another, you know, category. So within that, there is opportunity for you to flex around your money. And so you've got to figure out what your priorities truly are. And if you are wanting help and you're like, yes, I hear you, Brittany, I can't do it alone, I need some help, then you need to figure out if your money is going towards your true priorities, and you can reevaluate. Okay, do I want 5 Starbucks this week, or do I want 2 hours of babysitting? Or maybe you say, okay, I'm just going to get 1 Starbucks as a treat a month, and I'm going to use all the rest of that money to hire a cleaner to come once a month. And that's going to do all the deep cleaning, and I won't have to do that deep cleaning anymore, right? Like, we can figure out how to reallocate this money based on our priorities, and we can really figure out how to get some help in there. And so what I have learned for me, and this was a total mindset shift, but I feel like now my time is actually more valuable than my money. And that was something that took me a long time to get to, but I now am more than okay to use my money to buy back my time. Because when I do that, I get more freedom. I get to do more of the gifts, using the gifts I have. I get to be more present and enjoy those moments with my family. I get to run in the lanes that God has for me. I get to relax more. Like, whatever it is, I get to buy back my time, because time is so, so precious. Like, especially in these seasons of littles, like, everything is going fast. There's so much we're carrying. Like, we can give away time in a second, right? To manage it all, to manage the church schedule and the friend schedule and the marriage schedule and the kids schedule and the work schedule and the house schedule and the, like, there's so much, right? And so if we can find ways to buy back our time and let people help us, then we are going to get more freedom, more peace. We're going to be able to just become more of the people God made us to be and do more of the things He has for us on this earth. And so before, like, when I thought that I just had to do it all myself and I couldn't hire people to help me, all I was doing was proving that I was stubborn. Like, and stealing my own time and using it for things that I did not find joy in. Now, there might be different seasons of this. You know, I want to make sure I'm teaching my kids how to clean and that they're not expecting that someone else is going to do it for them. And so, you know, when my kids get a little bit older and we have a bunch of them, they're going to have chores. And so it might be a time where we don't have our cleaner come anymore, or, you know, he only comes like once a month or whatever often to really get the hard areas. And so this can shift, because I do want to teach my kids how to do that for themselves. I do want them to know how and to be a part of our family. And so it can vary. But right now, I am 1000% okay with buying back my time by hiring a cleaner. And for me, that means, like, I don't do all of the things that I see other people doing, right? Like Starbucks, like getting my nails done. I do my own nails, even when I'm pregnant. Even when I'm very, very pregnant. I don't know. I think that is a stubbornness in me. I don't know what it is. It just isn't enjoyable. I don't know. So I do my own nails, which also means I don't do them enough. But I'm very stubborn about that. I also don't like shop at Nordstrom's and, you know, like these really high-end places. Like, so there are ways that I have to make sacrifices or shift where my money is going, but that allows me to then get this time back that I'm wanting. Okay. So that's money. Now time, we kind of already talked about that, but again, I think that this is the most sacred commodity. It is more important than money. It is more important than things. It is more important than anything. And so if I, again, can get more time that I can run my business and I can have time with my kids and I can spend more time with my husband. I'm going to fight for this. And so I filter like my decisions on this about how to get help and like what that looks like. I filter it through my core priorities. So, you know, that goes through God and then marriage and then kids and then my purpose, my calling. And so if I can prioritize these four things in this order, that is how I make these decisions about where to get help, where to say yes to help to, where to allocate resources to get that help and to buy back time with God, time with my husband, time with my kids, time with my calling. And through that lens, I'm better able to do all of these really important things in my life. Now, any of you that are like, well, I can't afford a cleaner. Okay, I can't afford, I can't reallocate. Now, cleaning doesn't have to be horrendous either. Like, I just want to say that for a minute. There are so many ways to get on amazing routines. Go listen to Chelsea Joe. She has not just her academy, but her podcast, which is free, Systemize Your Life podcast. And she talks all about her cleaning routines. And she spends like 20 minutes a day cleaning. That's about it. And I think she has a cleaning block once a week. That's like an hour or two, but that's it. And she's obviously very organized and very clean. So this doesn't have to take over your life. There are ways to get around it. But again, get some help. Figure out what she does. Get her systems and routines going on. Like, you know, don't try and figure this out alone. Okay. The last one I want to talk through is marriage and gender roles. So I said this a bit ago, but while I believe that God has some different things to say to wives and husbands, I don't believe he tells specifics about who needs to cook, what chores need to be done from who, and who takes care of the kids and who does that. Like, that is not, there's nothing in the Bible about that. Okay. And so we don't have to feel like as wives or mothers that we have to do it all. Right. And that again goes back to that pride and that inadequacy and trying to prove our worth and trying to show that we're good enough. But we get to decide like what our motherhood looks like and what our roles as wives look like. Obviously, both of those need to be done in partnership with our spouse and talking through, you know, who's doing what and figuring that out. Like we, you know, obviously just can't decide like, oh, you, husband, you're going to start cooking because I heard Brittany's husband cook. So now you're going to do that, right? Like it doesn't work like that. But I think often we end up taking on more responsibilities as mothers and wives because we feel like we should, like we have to, like that's what culture has done. That's what our mothers did. Like, you know, whatever reasons are behind it. And so we end up either just taking that and not giving our husbands an option, or we speak out of the mindset that it's our responsibility alone. And so it's like it infiltrates the mindset of our marriage, and our husbands might be more open and willing to help, but because of how we talk about it, it makes it seem like it's on us. Like, oh, I'm so sorry I didn't get to the laundry this week. Oh, I'm gonna work harder, you know, and maybe that's coming from someone that works full time. So it's like, and again, if that's your role in the house, that's fine. But often it's like, oh, like we just think it's all automatically falls on us without even having a conversation with our husbands, without even trying to like map out, hey, let's figure out how we can be a team in this and what that looks like. And so I want you to get out of that mindset that it all needs to be on you, that it all needs to be run by you. And again, a lot of this goes down to conversation. Start by having a conversation with your husband and talk about what he thinks. Talk about what he enjoys doing in the house. Talk openly about how you're feeling and how overwhelmed you might be and how, you know, you're just struggling to keep up with it, but you're, you know, you really want to create this peaceful home and you really want to have more time with the kids, but it's really hard when all these things are going on, right? Have a conversation, share openly without like attacking or really try not to get emotional either. I mean, you can be a little emotional, but not like manipulatively emotional and, you know, where he just shuts down and it's too much. But like, talk to him about this and what it looks like and what you guys can do as a team. And you do need to kind of have some awareness of your mindsets before you go into this conversation, because you wouldn't believe like how much of your mindsets around this come from your parents. Like I know like my parents have very typical gender roles. My mom kind of does all the cooking, cleaning, that kind of stuff. My dad is the one that worked. She would work sometimes, but she would, you know, always take over like all of that cooking, cleaning, you know, housework kind of stuff and the kids. And so I, you know, now even struggle at times, even though like my husband and I have agreed on certain things and, you know, everything is fine, but I will have guilt sometimes that comes up or worry that I'm putting too much on him. Like when I'm going out of town to work or when I have him cook or whatever these things are. And so you have to be really aware of your mindsets and how they're going to come out, because if you get triggered, you're going to end up trying to take it back. And just trying to do it yourself. And that's not what we want to do. We're trying to release some of this control. So have some conversations with your husband about gender roles, about his mindsets around them, about yours. Figure out what yours are before you even go into that conversation. And just try and figure out what it can look like to be a team and what his strengths are and what he can bring to this area. You know, maybe he doesn't want to clean, but maybe he doesn't mind watching the kids for an hour or two on the weekends. You guys can like work something out, right? You can get creative and figure out how to use the things you guys enjoy the most and do this together, because you should not do it alone. Okay. Now, I know for some of you, with a spouse specifically, that's going to be more challenging. Maybe your spouse is not supportive at all. Maybe they work really long, crazy hours. And so that's going to be more of a challenge. And I still encourage you to have that conversation and figure out what you guys can do and what you can make happen. But I also just like want to encourage you guys to get creative. So we're ending this episode and I want you to figure out, who are you going to let help you? Are you going to let a relative help you? Are you going to hire someone? Are you going to get your husband on board? Or are you going to, like I was just saying, get creative? And I want you to figure out before this episode ends what you're going to do, at least just one thing this week, to let someone help you. Some ways to get creative. Okay, so if some of these, like if the money is tight, if the husband isn't there, if you don't have relatives near you, you can do a babysitting swap for an hour or two a week with a neighbor, with a trusted friend, like whoever that's going to be, and take turns, right? So you're just taking on their kids an hour or two a week when you already have your kids, so it's already going to be crazy. And then you get an hour or two a week to yourself to get some of that cleaning, cooking done or work done or like whatever it is that you're needing. That doesn't have to cost anything, okay? Another like cheap way to get childcare that I've shared about a lot because I used to do this, get a gym membership. This is the best because usually they're pretty inexpensive and you can go every day. And I know at least the gym that I used to go to is at the YMCA, you could get 2 hours of childcare for free. Now, some of you beasts out there, you amazing workout warriors, you need that 2 hours and that's amazing. I am not that. If I go for 20 to 30 minutes, I feel great. So at least that's where we're at now. So I would take the rest of the time, the rest of the hour and a half, and I would, you know, shower later, and I would take that hour and a half and I would go get work done. And this was actually before I had any kind of like official jobs or things I was doing. It was mostly just volunteer work for the church. And I would go and work on stuff that I had to do then. And let me tell you, it was amazing. And I would use that time to also go through some of these courses. I think I was going through the Systemize Your Life Academy at that time, something like that. And, you know, it was amazing to get that time. And then you also get your workout in, right? Like this is an amazing way to really buy some time back. You know, another thing is if someone at church offers to take your kids for a bit, you trust them, let them. Like, don't feel like you have to say no. Don't feel like you have to be polite. Like, follow up with them, be like, hey, you're wanting to take my kids. Like, can we schedule that? Like, don't feel like you have to say no. Another idea is to ask for babysitting funds or babysitting for that matter, or a cleaner, whatever it is, for like Christmases and birthdays. So if there's people already getting you gifts, like ask for some funds to do that. And I know that's not going to necessarily go too far. But even if it's going to get you a little bit here and there, and that's like a priority in your life and you don't really need any other like gifts, you know, I know it's always hard to, right, get like figure out what you want as a gift, then get some of that to be used for babysitting, cleaning, or whether they're donating their time or their money or whatever that is. So just some ideas. You can, a lot more of possibility of creativity here. But my encouragement to you is to not do this alone. Get out of the mindset that you've got to do that to be a good enough mom, to be a good enough wife. Like, we were not meant to do this alone. So I hope that you go and find some help and say yes to help and have some really amazing conversations. And the next time your mother-in-law wants to do your dishes, you're doing a happy dance and you're not bitter and resentful behind the wall. Okay? All right, let me pray for you. God, I just thank you that we are meant to be in community, God. I thank you that we were never created to be alone, God, and that we're meant to just support each other and rally together and bring our different gifts just to make our lives in this world better. And so, God, we just pray for wisdom. Show us how to expand our time, Lord, so that we could do more of what you have for us, God. And we can be less overwhelmed. And God, I just pray for creative ideas to pop into these mamas' minds and different conversations they need to have. I pray for courage, Lord, and peace in those and wisdom, God. And we just thank you for your plan for us to do things together, God, and that we don't have to do it alone. And you're just so good to plan us out that way, God. So thank you for what you're doing. And we just pray for more of you in all of this, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, Mama.